Our first scripture lesson today are words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 1 and 10 through 20. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more, bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our reading from the gospel this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'm reading from the 12th chapter of Luke. This may be a familiar portion of the gospel to us, and some may not have heard it at all. So either way, let us hear these words with new ears so that they might speak to us in our lives where we are today. And this is Jesus speaking. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn or finds them so, blessed are those. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Where is your treasure? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is your treasure? Now, don't be too quick with your answer, because you may think your treasure is something or someone, something tangible to be cherished. And if we are quick to answer, my guess is that you are thinking of treasures like family, friends, a particular place, a home, a car, a job, experiences of all of these and things like them in your life. You may be thinking these are your treasures. And of course, they are all good treasures. But what if we're asking the wrong question? Which is exactly what I have done with you this morning. Because whether you noticed the slight or not, I changed words on you. The way many of us do when we hear this famous quote of Jesus. Because Jesus does not say, "What is your treasure?" He says, "Where is your treasure?" The Greek word for treasure is thesauros. And it has the primary definition of the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. A casket, coffer, or other receptacle in which values and valuables are kept. A treasury, a storehouse, a repository, a magazine. Did you recognize the word thesauros? It's the same word where thesaurus comes from. A thesaurus is a trove of words. It's the place where the treasure of words are kept. So perhaps the better question for us is, where is our treasury? Where do we keep all of the things that we cherish? And I would suggest that we keep those things in our minds. We keep them in our thoughts. We keep them in our feelings. We keep them in our perspectives. We keep them in our actions. We keep them in our words. These are the things that contain and express our treasures. One way we could say this is we could combine all of these things and say that all of these places where we keep those things we cherish is we keep them in our hearts. For you see, the Greek word in this passage for heart is cardia. That's pretty easy. It's your cardiologist, your cardiogram. It's cardia. But it has much more meaning than just an organ that pumps blood. To the ancients, and even today, heart is used to express the center of all physical and spiritual life. It is the middle. It is the center, the innermost part of anything, even inanimate objects. The heart is the very center. And one could say that our heart and even our soul, perhaps, is the repository of all the experience, all that we learn, all that we feel. Our heart is the inmost perspective of how we see and interact with the world around us. And this notion of heart is not only in our individual lives, but it also extends into our collective lives. Families have heart. Communities and countries have heart, have an innermost place that contains those things we cherish the most, our treasury. So where do you suppose our treasury of the heart is found today? Each one of us would have to answer that own question for ourselves. But as we reflect more collectively, more communally, we can discover the heart of a community, of a country. Here's a quote from a story that appeared in several major news sources just this last week, and I read it verbatim. It says, "This is why this country is doomed. Social media has driven most folks into living in a personal echo chamber where no one ever disagrees with them or has a different, no less, an opposing viewpoint. All this does is make people nearly 100% intolerant of anything that doesn't align with all their personal beliefs." Now, the great irony of this rather profound statement is that it is in response to a popular restaurant chain adding plant-based meat to its menu, and how some people are incensed and others celebrate. It appears that the social discourse in our culture has come to the point where how sausage is made is a point of contention and conflict. How absurd have we become? Much like the people described in Isaiah this morning, many so-called people of faith, many so-called Christians have lost their way through pious religious rituals that ignore goodness, justice, rescuing the oppressed, defending the orphan, and pleading for the widow. Too many people equate religious faith with patriotism, nationalism, religiosity. In many ways, we have become disheartened and soulless because of the things we love and cherish are bound in treasuries of hypocrisy and pride, prejudice, greed, and hate disguised as faith. If there ever was an oxymoron, the phrase that we are hearing in our country today, Christian nationalism, is one. And it runs rampant through our churches, through our temples, through our solemn assemblies, to quote Isaiah. Too many people of faith have conflated religion with nationalism. And we are in a serious bind in our country today and in the wider world. However, both Isaiah and Jesus offer us a way forward. It's a very simple way, yet difficult. And that way is a change of heart. A change of our treasury. A change of our repository of the things we cherish. Do you see the shift we've taken? When Jesus says, "Where is your treasure?" He's not talking about the trinkets of our lives. He's not talking about those things that we own. He's not talking about our families and our love for one another. He is talking about how we hold all of those things and the perspective from which we cherish them. The difficulty in identifying and eventually giving up this treasury, our perspective in exchange for one that Jesus calls the kingdom, which is always at hand, waiting for our embrace through action, as described by Isaiah. If Isaiah and the prophets and Jesus make one thing perfectly clear, faith is not just believing in the kingdom, but it's living it here and now. Jesus tells this odd story about servants waiting for their master to return, that we often take too literally as a parable about some imagined end time, because the story ends with what appears to be a warning. Jesus says, "You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Sounds rather foreboding, doesn't it? Have you ever heard that bad, sad joke where it says, "You better get busy because Jesus is coming"? But at the beginning of this passage, Jesus says, and listen carefully, right off the bat here, he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Right off the bat, there's nothing to be afraid of. Don't be afraid. It's here. It's yours. And this is the clue that transforms this warning into an amazing promise. And the promise is the unexpected hour is not sometime in the future. The unexpected hour is now. The eternally now. Which is probably the most unexpected place we expect to find Jesus. Right now, here is the kingdom. In like fashion, Isaiah says, "Come now. Let us argue it out," says the Lord. Let's talk about this. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow, and though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Both of these foreboding passages contain amazing promises of here and now, but neither one of them is a magic moment. It's not a magic moment of pious words or ceremony where someone is magically saved. Both are calls to a change of heart, a change of heart that evolves daily through giving up our treasuries of nationalism, empty piety, and selfish pride for the true treasury of the kingdom of heaven, which is already here. And if you can't take my word for it, listen to Jesus. Don't be afraid, children. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. But we have to do our part. Amen. He was brought down by law and order allied with religion, which is always a deadly mix. Beware of those who claim to know the mind of God and be prepared to use force if necessary to make others conform. Beware of those who cannot tell God's will from their own. And this morning, Isaiah and Jesus give us a way to be vigilant. Isaiah says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword." And Jesus says, be dressed for action. Have your lamps lit. You must be ready for the unexpected hour is now. Go in peace. Amen.